excellent. Okay, Nate or Nathan Rains. He's been on the research mission for, is it Mesoamerican Nephrography?
Yes. So.
Come on up here and help me with this in Nicaragua.
So basically, I've been involved with research into this epidemic of chronic kidney disease, which we've kind of defined as a different epidemic of disease known as Mesoamerican nephropathy for a couple of years, and helped start Mount Sinai's involvement in this topic. And I'm a third-year medical student from Mount Sinai, formerly MPH student there.
Okay, excellent. So really looking forward to learning about this kind of kidney disease, and pardon my French on pronunciation. It's all yours, Nate.
All right, thank you. So hi, again, my name is Nate, and I'm here to talk to you about an epidemic of chronic kidney disease that we're seeing in Nicaragua and indeed throughout Central America, which has been called Mesoamerican nephropathy. So I have no relationships to disclose. So to begin, just a little bit of background about chronic kidney disease. It's a rising global health concern, and what we're seeing kind of in general with chronic kidney disease in the global health arena is it's usually associated with kind of the traditional risk factors that you see in the U.S. as well. Those risk factors include aging, diabetes, hypertension, and the use of NSAIDs and other nephrotoxic medications. Studies that have been conducted in Central America over the past couple decades or so have identified a different epidemiologic pattern for chronic kidney disease. Rather than being associated with these traditional risk factors, instead we're seeing the disease emerging in young males, and particularly agricultural workers. The etiology is still unknown, but doesn't appear to be associated with any of these traditional risk factors. We're seeing a similar pattern also being described in other countries such as Sri Lanka, India, and Egypt. And again, this disease has been termed Mesoamerican nephropathy. MEN is how I'm going to refer to it for the rest of the presentation. So this past November, we had the first international conference on MEN. There, kind of a disease definition was established, or a preliminary definition at least, which is abnormal kidney function, no known cause, and characterized by a number of other biological findings, including early anemia, non-nephrotic proteinuria. At that conference, we also kind of established a number of causes that were priorities to investigate. Those included the use of NSAIDs and other nephrotoxic medications, heat stress and dehydration, fructose intake, agrochemicals and heavy metals, and endemic infections, among others. And the research I'm going to talk about addresses all these hypothesized causes with the exception of heavy metal usage and endemic infection. A little bit of background on chronic kidney disease in Nicaragua. So it's been largely described along the Northwest Pacific coast. The region that we worked with specifically is a region called Chichigalpa. It's a predominantly agricultural area, and it has the highest CKD-related mortality rate, according to official statistics, at about 13 per 10,000 inhabitants annually. An adjunct study, which is actually being presented next door as I speak right now, looked at mortality from chronic kidney disease in the same population and found that 35% of all deaths, as well as 45% of deaths among males, were due to CKD in this area over the past 10 years, according to official records. And then the communities that we did our investigation in had previously had a prevalence study conducted in 2008, which showed a prevalence of EGFR less than 60. EGFR stands for estimated glomerular filtration rate, and less than 60 is kind of the established cutoff for stage 3 or higher chronic kidney disease. So prevalence of EGFR less than 60 of 31% among males aged 20 to 60. So this study employed a cross-sectional study design with nested case control analysis. Recruitment was done as a door-to-door census. The inclusion criteria was anyone aged 15 to 69 and a permanent resident of these areas. And in terms of the data we actually collected, so we took blood samples from all the participants, which was analyzed for hemoglobin A1C to establish diabetes, serum creatinine, and then we used serum creatinine to calculate EGFR using the CKD-EPI formula. We also took urine samples, which were analyzed for specific gravity, proteinuria, hematuria, and glycosuria. height, weight, and other anthropomorphic measures. We did questionnaires on medication usage, drug, alcohol, and tobacco usage, and diet with a specific focus on fructose intake. And then questionnaires to those individuals who identified themselves as agricultural workers on the working environment and exposures that they experienced during their working lives. So in total, we had 424 participants, which represented 62% of the census population in this region we were working. And among those individuals, 151 of them were agricultural workers, and that's 58% of all the agricultural workers identified in the census. So to begin with, I just kind of want to discuss what we found in terms of findings for prevalence of chronic kidney disease in this area. So here the blue bars are the U.S. values from NHANES in 1999 to 2006. Green is our findings overall, and then we also broke it down between females and males. Females are the red bars, males are the purple bars. So what we found were that in all age groups, chronic kidney disease was significantly higher, prevalence of chronic kidney disease was significantly higher in Nicaragua than it was in the United States, and that it was significantly higher among males than females in all groups, except for the 60 to 69 group. And that's just because our N was very low for males in that area. A lot of males don't make it to that age. And then overall findings were that prevalence in this region was about 20% overall, with 41% of males showing EGFR less than 60, and about 10% of females. So looking at some of the risk factors, we started first just kind of looking at overall population analysis using univariate risk factors. And we did this using logistic regression. The two groups that we compared were those individuals with EGFR less than 60, defined as our cases, and those individuals with EGFRs of greater than 90, which we defined as our controls. What we found were that age, male sex, a history of agricultural work, increased blood pressure, and tobacco and alcohol use were all associated with chronic kidney disease in this population. Significantly, we found that hemoglobin A1c greater than 6.5, which is a measure of diabetes, was not significantly associated and was very low in this population overall in general. That fructose intake was not associated with chronic kidney disease, that NSAID use was not associated with chronic kidney disease. Then looking again at this data with multivariate analysis, so what we did here was take all of the significant variables and use backwards logistic regression. We found that only age and male sex remain significant predictors in the overall population. And here again, significantly, agricultural work in and of itself was not a predictor. But we are interested in kind of further breaking down agricultural workers and figuring out, you know, why there are other studies showing that agricultural work is associated. So we did additional analyses among agricultural workers. This is kind of general characteristics, looking at those characteristics we found significant in analysis for the overall population. And what we found is that age and male sex, again, continued to be significant predictors. Increased diastolic blood pressure, but not systolic blood pressure, and alcohol consumption were also significant. And tobacco smoking was marginally significant. We then wanted to look at specific work tasks and how those were associated with chronic kidney disease. So this table kind of breaks down various tasks that people engage in agriculture in this region. What we found was that lifetime days of cutting or harvesting agriculture was significantly associated with reduced EGFR, whereas any other task that we saw done in this region, seeding, watering, mixing or applying pesticides, were not associated with chronic kidney disease. Then when we further broke down this cutting and harvesting agriculture group, we found that those individuals who were engaged in cutting or harvesting sugarcane were significantly more likely to have a reduced EGFR, whereas those individuals who worked in non-cane crops didn't show any difference. And then one last one that I wanted to point out on this slide, too, is that lifetime hours cutting sugarcane in the dry season was significantly associated with reduced EGFR as well. And the reason that we thought this measure is important is because past studies have indicated that this tends to be the task most strongly associated with increased heat stress. So we looked at some at-work behaviors among these agricultural workers as well to try to get at pesticide exposure and chewing cane, fructose exposure. So some of these that we found that were significant were a self-reported history of accidentally inhaling pesticides, a history of cane chewing during the day. And then we also found that the consumption of daily bolis, which are these rehydration packets that are very high in their fructose content, were all associated or marginally associated with chronic kidney disease. So then including these variables in multivariate analysis, with these multivariate analyses, we actually only use age and male sex as the covariates for comparison. It was just because of low N. What we found were that we found that lifetime hours cutting cane during the dry season was the most significant predictor for chronic kidney disease among this population, had the highest odds ratio. We found that cane chewing, inhaling pesticides, and boli consumption were all also associated in these multivariate analyses with chronic kidney disease. So overall, what we found was a high prevalence of chronic kidney disease in this region, particularly among men. It wasn't associated with traditional risk factors such as diabetes and NSAID use, only marginally associated with hypertension. Our rates of hypertension were reasonably low, and even though the association was significant, the directionality of the relationship is hard to determine because hypertension is both a cause and a result of chronic kidney disease. We found, in general, low proteinuria among this population, which is one of the characteristics of MEN. And we found that alcohol and tobacco use don't appear to be major contributors to the disease. So addressing some of the specific hypotheses I talked about in the beginning, hours cutting sugarcane was robustly associated with reduced EGFR. As I mentioned, it's known to be one of the greatest heat stressors of occupational tasks involved in sugarcane. So we also found that there was no difference in reported water intake between chronic kidney disease and not chronic kidney disease, which we thought might also contribute to, you know, heat stress, dehydration, that sort of thing. Interestingly, those values were high in both groups, so it's not necessarily indicative that dehydration doesn't play a role. Based on kind of OSHA standards for this sort of work that these individuals are doing, it's impossible to maintain adequate hydration status working in these conditions without taking significantly more frequent breaks than these individuals do. The pesticides hypothesis. So we talked to sugarcane or pesticide applicators on sugarcane plantations and found that the three most commonly used pesticides in this area are all shown to be nephrotoxic in past studies. We found that pesticide inhalation was associated with CKD, as was chewing sugarcane, which represents a potential oral route of exposure. However, we found that work applying and mixing pesticides isn't associated with chronic kidney disease, and that may represent a more objective measure of cumulative pesticide exposure than these self-reported values. This study can't really draw great conclusions about the role of pesticides. It still remains up in the air. And then finally, with respect to fructose, so we found that chewing sugarcane and consumption of bolis was associated with chronic kidney disease, but that overall fructose intake was not. Interestingly, chewing sugarcane and consumption of bolis are things that happen, you know, while people are actively engaged in the these potentially heat-stressing tasks. And so it may indicate that fructose intake specifically while you're heat-stressed may be a risk factor. So some limitations of the study: only 62% of the community participated, which may not be entirely representative. This is a community that, you know, has dealt with the burden of disease for a long time and has some research burnout. It employed a cross-sectional design. Our questions were adapted from validated studies, but the overall surveys were not themselves validated. We were modeling complex behaviors using pretty simple models, Male gender and age tended to be very dominant in multivariate analysis. They're part of the CKD epi equation used to calculate EGFR, and so that may be why they tended to be such dominant factors. So moving forward, further research needs to be continued in the etiology of MEN. The focus should be probably moved away from NSAIDs and traditional risk factors and targeted more at kind of some of these specific agricultural behaviors, particularly those associated with heat stress and fructose intake. And then, you know, at this point, it's really important to advocate for cooperation with the government and the plantation owners to end this epidemic. I mean, from what we saw, rates of chronic kidney disease are extremely high, and you know, this is something that can't be sustained. So I want to thank my team, the funding which is provided by ICANN School of Medicine and La Isla Foundation. And yeah, if you're interested in learning more, La Isla Foundation has a great website, which is right up there. So thank you very much.
Okay, we have time for a question, and then if we have time at the end, we'll come back. Yes.
Hi, Dave Brigham from UMass Lowell. Lovely presentation. Thank you very much. I have two questions, I think, to simple answers. One is, you chose for good reason to look at the agricultural workers. Was there any other major occupational group, or was that the only major occupational group? And the second is, given the directionality problem with hypertension, did you ever try stratifying on blood pressure and then looking at the effects within the strata?
I didn't, to answer your second question first. So I also evaluated looking at hypertension, just in general defined as either diastolic greater than 90 or systolic greater than 140. It was not a significant predictor, and that actually was a recent analysis I did, so I didn't include it in the presentation yet. Sorry, what was the first part? The predominant occupation in this region is agriculture work. So there's some other things, you know, people are welders or are employed by the plantations in various other ways, but particularly among men, that's the predominant occupation. Among women, most of them don't work, they are housewives.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Can you speak up a little bit?
So following up on the last question about the different types of jobs for men in the community, do you think it's possible that the lack of a difference for the agricultural versus non-agricultural workers is because of just the exposures from agriculture being the dominant source of money and everything in the community? That maybe everybody is receiving agricultural exposure to whatever, regardless of their actual occupation?
Absolutely. Like, if you look at these communities, I mean, I can show you back through some of the pictures, but they're very closely involved with the sugarcane plantations. I mean, their houses are right next to the fields. I actually don't think I have great pictures of that, unfortunately. I think that in terms of agrochemical exposures, a lot of the population is getting exposed kind of passively as well, just where they live. They wouldn't be seeing the same exposures to heat stress, though, as you know, we're finding are important in this population.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Big hand. Great job. Thank you.